Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yo, 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 ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Hello Steve-O Podcast live from New York City. I hope you're having a fantastic week. Just a quick one. Thank you so much to everybody who signed up to the mailing list. And if you want to find out about the shows that are now on sale, you can do so by signing up to the mailing list on www.thestephenmullen.com. And if you would like to help to support me making this independent podcast, please do so by buying me a coffee. You can do so, that is, on the link. Click the link in the description to this podcast. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to do a little bit of a longer introduction this week so I can set up this podcast for you. But anyway, blah, blah, blah. Let's get into it. Let's go. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and you are all very welcome to this week's episode of Hello Steve-O Podcast live from New York City. It's been a fantastic week. Some of you will have seen some of the things that have been going on social media. It's been a great time. I've come over here to do, been asked to come over and do a couple of shows as part of the New York Comedy Festival. And it's been really fantastic. It's been a great experience. This is the longest time I've spent in New York City. I've been plenty of times, but I haven't spent as much time as I am now. And it's been absolutely brilliant. Today's episode is going to be a conversation with Katie Boyle. Now, it is important to give you guys the context of where this conversation happened. Katie and I had met up. Katie had organized a show for us, for a couple of us to come over, and some Irish comics that were already here, so Irish comedians at the New York Comedy Festival. And then that was a couple of days ago. Katie and I met up for a quick coffee today, and she was literally around the corner from her apartment. And she was like, why don't we just go up and do a podcast? So this conversation that you're going to hear is a little bit in, a little bit industry-wise, you know, a little bit of talking about the different comedic scenes. And we have a little bit of chat about the differences between them. But then also it gets into a conversation of what it's like here in New York. Now, I want you all to definitely get the vibe off me right now that my week here has been lovely. It's been fantastic. I've loved every bit of it. But as you will hear in the podcast, it goes on to talk about some of the more difficult things of living in New York City, which, of course, I don't really experience when I'm just popping in and I'm popping out quickly. So I suppose it is a little bit of a trigger warning as how some of the bits of living in New York City can be a little bit difficult. A little bit of violence, to be quite honest with you. Katie talks about some experience that she's had on the subway. So if you're feeling sensitive about that, kind of stuff, I'd say maybe don't listen to the episode, but it's just a bit how things can be a bit mad on the subway and the way things have changed since the pandemic, interestingly enough. Other than that, though, we talk about the real huge comedy scene that is here in New York, and you start to hear a lot of the differences of the different kind of, Katie calls it cults, really, that go on here. And it is interesting. I have experienced a little bit of it. There's different, like, teams nearly within the comedy world. Like, you know, in football terms, you might talk about it in terms like being a Manchester United versus an Arsenal fan or stuff like that. There's definitely that sense here in the US. But it's kind of a little bit the way that it works. I know there's lots of you listening from the US. But and a lot of us will watch a little bit of what's going on in politics in the US and all that kind of thing. But we kind of see it from afar. And it's nice to have the European perspective. I do love living in Europe. I've done a lot of traveling this year to, you know, to the States a couple of times this year. I was in Dubai and I was in, you know, places that are a good bit away from Europe. And you do realize, me personally, very grateful to live in Europe. Not just Ireland, I mean Europe, because we are a small country, but also the European Union is a community of different, very different cultures and different aspects that go on, different ways of running countries, different ways of doing politics, all those types of things. So we do get to see a very varied way of living lives. But what you have in the US, I mean, we all know this on some level. What you have in the US is a huge country, which has the population of, I think it's nearly up there with the whole of Europe. But the problem being that it's so many people ruled in a very narrow way, or the system, the political system, or the democratic system is ruled in a very narrow way that certainly doesn't serve everybody. But what I've witnessed over my time here is that it gets you very much into only two ways of thinking. It's very clear which team you're on here, or it's very clear the way of thinking over here. And it's interesting how that infiltrates into the way that you live your life. Now, Katie and I did not have the time to get into all that, but she has some very interesting points of what it's like to be an immigrant, for example, and the labels that people have on each other, whether you're considered white, black, Latino, all those different types of labels, and why they hold on to those labels so dearly over here. And dearly is probably the wrong word, but it's such a huge part of the identity that it causes a lot of friction. It causes a lot of tension. So it's an interesting episode. We talk a little bit about the comedy scene, a little bit of crack about that, but then it kind of does end off in some of the more negative aspects of what it's like to live in the US at the moment. But as I said, I have had a fantastic week. I loved my experience of being in New York comedy clubs, performing in them. It was brilliant. I got to experience that, because as a comedian, when you're coming up, we tend to watch a lot of American comedy. And I loved coming over here and experiencing the American way of doing stand-up comedy. But again, as I said, it definitely, the whole trip has, and I've really enjoyed it. But even within comedy, it makes me feel grateful to have the perspective that I do have of primarily working out of Ireland, but being able to go to the UK and the different cultures there, different cultures even within Ireland, but then doing Edinburgh and Scotland and stuff like that. You're constantly working with different cultures all the time, and it's great to have all those different perspectives and then dip into the US thing. There's definitely a sense of, with some of the comedy here, of like, it's very, it's America thinks about itself, you know? So they were still lovely and fantastic, great experiences. Got to see lots of different types of comedians. And I had a great time meeting lots of people. Dez was fantastic. I got to go down to the comedy cellar to watch him and meet other comics and all that kind of thing. And meet some legendary comics as well. Todd Barry, Ari Shaffir, Godfrey, all these kind of cool guys that I've watched on YouTube for years. I got to meet these people. It was pretty cool. Oh yeah, as you saw on Instagram, Dave Chappelle dropped in the evening I was there. No big deal. So just to be around that was kind of cool, you know? And I've had a great time. Got to eat in loads of different places that I loved. Cat's Deli the other day, all that kind of stuff. So it was great crack. It has been great crack. There's a cool energy here. But as you'll hear, there's like lots of different weird things going on as well. So I hope you enjoy this episode. It's kind of more conversation, getting stuck into certain aspects of what is going on here. And I would say it's interesting. So brace yourselves for like maybe not, you know, a lull a minute, not loads of laughs in there, because we just got into some really interesting conversation. So I hope you do enjoy it. Thank you to everybody for the lovely comments. And I'm glad that you all enjoyed the Deirdre O'Kane episode so much. So much so that Deirdre enjoyed it so much as well that she is going to be coming back on the show in the future. So delighted with that. It should be good crack. And what else is there to report? For those of you who already signed up to the mailing list, you got the email this week that gave you the links and the heads up to the tickets that are already on sale to see my show, Stephen Mullen Ouch, that goes on an Irish tour in the spring of 2023. So some of you already bought tickets. Thank you so much. I've announced the first few venues, and there will be more venues added to the show. But tomorrow, for the rest of you guys who have not signed up to the mailing list, there will be, I'm going to start giving you a heads up online on the social media about the ticket sales and where they're coming to. But thank you very much for all the, I got loads of lovely messages about back from the all of you that got the mail as well. So I'm delighted that you got it and that it worked. It was my first time doing a big mailing list, so I'm delighted. And if you want to continue to hear news or hear the things that I'm up to, I'm going to primarily start putting news through the mailing list. So do sign up, go up to www.thestephenmullen.com and sign up to the mailing list. I will not be wasting your time with the emails. They are written to entertain you, to have a little something nice in your inbox, and to keep you up to date with the things that are coming up and the things that I am making, of which I intend to be doing a lot in the coming months. Also, thank you to the people who have supported me to help keeping this podcast going. I know a lot of you might think the Acast ads that are on the thing. The Acast ads, I ain't getting a penny out of at the moment. Look, that's just the way that it works. I get a free platform, but I ain't going to get any revenue from those ads at the moment. However, if you would like to support me to keep the podcast going, this podcast that I produce myself, that I get the guests on, etc., just to keep the general maintenance of these things going, the time that it takes me during the week, etc., and if you're enjoying it, I do appreciate your support. You can buy me a coffee, you can buy me a once-off. The link is in the description to this podcast. You can buy me a one-off coffee, you can buy me a subscription, whatever it is that you would like to do. I do appreciate the support. And if you can't do that, that is totally fine. Just give it a 5-star, give the podcast a 5-star rating. I would really appreciate that. It helps to see the podcast move up the charts or for more people to see it. And just tell a mate. If you can't afford to buy me a coffee, tell a mate. I'd really appreciate it. Spread the word. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to do this. I don't know where I'm going to edit this, but hey, we'll see. It's New York. I'm looking out in skyscrapers. It's kind of mad. Last night, being hanging around the Comedy Cellar and all that kind of stuff, it was like being in a movie. I think I'm going to write another piece. I was inspired to write again on this trip. So, yeah, we shall see. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is Hello Steve, a podcast. Let's do this.
You could change, you filthy animal.
So we're going to do a crossover.
Yes.
And so this is the Hello Steve-O podcast and the Shift podcast.
Can you explain to the Hello Steve-O podcast listeners what that means?
what the hello? Oh, crossover. I think you meant what? Yeah. Hello Steve. I was like, they know. So basically it is where you're both doing an episode that's going to go on both platforms. So this will also go on my podcast. So my podcast is called The Shift and this will go on yours.
Yes.
And it's just an easy way for us to interview each other but not have to do two episodes.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
I mean, that makes it sound like we're lazy, but we're not, Katie.
We're double jobbing.
Now, what we can, and texting at the same time.
So I have.
You're so new. This is brilliant. Like, I'm just realizing it's like, boom, boom. Let's do this. Go, go, go. Let's do a crossover. Boom, boom. From having a coffee downstairs to this, you're just like,
I know.
Let's fucking do this.
Well, you were saying you had to get it done, and then it's perfect. We're gonna wait. Aaron McCann is coming to meet us, so we might have to jump off and get him. But you know what? When we were saying like, what should we talk about? You did the gig.
I did the gig, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, what gig work? I didn't realize. I got a message during the week from Hello Steve listeners going, sorry, are you going to New York? What are you going to New York for? And all that kind of thing.
You
I didn't tell anybody that I was going to.
Oh, were you allowed then to say on the podcast you did the gig?
Yeah, but there was no money involved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
So we didn't
it was
make any
like,
money.
Yeah, I'm a good volunteer, you know.
Yeah.
We did. Don't worry, IRS, there was no money. But yeah, I did the gig. I did two gigs. I was at the stand on Monday night for Hannah Burner's show, Espresso Martinis.
Yeah.
And then I was at the New York Comedy Club. And both were great and both were very different. And I got to go to the Cellar last night. Yeah. And I actually really enjoyed the experience of all of them because they're very, very different spaces, comedians, kind of styles and all that kind of stuff. And it was great. All brilliant New York experiences. Like, the Stand is very... A lovely, massive, huge pizza oven and all that kind of stuff, isn't it?
Which did you prefer, the Stand, New York Comedy Club, or the Cellar?
You're putting me on the spot now.
Yeah, don't worry. None of them are listening to either of our podcasts. Because they're all very different.
They're all very different, but they're also very different audiences. And so the Stand audience that I would have been playing to on Monday was Hannah's audience, which by admission is like, they're very different. She would describe them as rich white girls, right? But then there was another podcast going on upstairs, which was, I think it was called Legion of Skanks, I think, which is the complete opposite of what was downstairs in Hannah's show.
some of the people on my podcast also listen to Legion of Skanks, and you guys know that that's sometimes you guys, which is lovely, and then sometimes very alt-righty listeners,
right,
which is very different to Hannah's, like, girls, brunch day, having fun.
Brunch day, yeah, yeah.
And then I'm upstairs, they're like, kill all women.
Oh, really? It's that bad? I didn't know.
A joke, but also like, really as a joke? I don't know.
Someone made the joke, is like, downstairs you have, who said that? I can't use the R word, but I'll lighten it. It was basically, somebody said downstairs you have the lovely, gorgeous girls, and upstairs you have the guys that assault them, basically.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, downstairs you have the girls who all the incels upstairs like murder people because they won't have sex with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It definitely, and obviously there are, I will say, like, with some of those, because it's kind of like a skank fest thing.
Right.
And some of their fans
now,
are.
So you have to explain the skank fest now to my audience.
So, Legion of
Skanks. Also, I don't know either.
So Legion of Skanks is this podcast.
Yes.
And then Skankfest is the festival kind of came out of the podcast.
Okay.
And some of their fans are just lovely, die hard, ride or die, will like support you to the end. And some of them are a little mental. Like, I went on to, this is crazy. I went on, so their whole network is called Gas Digital. And again, there's some great podcasts on there. So, and the guy who runs it has always been really nice to me,
right.
Luis Gomez. And he was one of the first people to pay me in comedy and stuff. Uh-huh. So I get on great with him. But so I've done his podcast a few times, a real ass podcast, and I'll get a lot of lovely messages, and then I'll be like, what the hell is this? Like, some wild messages. But like, a lot of the time they're doing it trying to be funny, but
right.
I guess that the
kind
listeners,
troll type vibe. Yeah.
And then they're like, but they're like, they don't actually know how to write a joke, so they're just saying the most offensive shit ever.
Go on, Katie! Get off the fence, tell us what you really think. No, I'm joking.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. I was like, no, not me.
No,
them.
I don't mean that you're writing those jokes. And I was like, yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
They did one thing where they have like a group message thing, and they like photoshopped tits on me. So they were like sending around like a naked photo of me, but it was all photoshopped, like crazy stuff.
My
just
goodness.
Like, whatever. Or they'll do like my voice sometimes and pretend that I'm saying wild stuff. But like, I'm trying to think, what was the other thing they did?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, there was one guy. This is bad. I'll tell you. So there was one guy who definitely came from that podcast and wrote, like, I get like a lot of nasty comments on YouTube, and he wrote, don't quit your day job. But I've actually never had a day job, so I thought that was really funny.
Yeah,
I was going to write back and be like, LOL, never had one, because I've bartended for years.
Yeah, okay.
So, but I saw his handle, and his handle said @StumpyComedy. And I was like, Stumpy, that feels weird. So I clicked on his page, and he has no arms, no legs. And I thought, you know what? I'm not even going to reply to this. He's having a tough enough life as it is. That's
if he's
coming over here and roasting me. And amazing that like he wrote it. So
yeah.
And I'm not being ableist here at all. I'm just saying like the guy's got a tough time, so I'm gonna let him. He can roast me, the other people can fuck off. But
wow, so I'd know. So yeah, I suppose. Wow, that's interesting. So this is part of what I've learned in my time here in New York is the scene,
yeah,
and how stuff like that goes on, like a completely unaware of from the Irish and UK scene. But also it's so huge here that it's such a, not just New York, the US, it's so huge, there's so many people that you do get the I mean, that's a great example that night in the Stand, Hannah's crowd versus Legion of Skanks crowd, you know, that exists. There's enough
completely
people
different belief systems,
completely
yeah.
different, it's like different religions,
yeah,
and
like two different cults,
yeah, but yet it's all under the same roof, I suppose, on some level.
And they are like cults, because with the Legion of Skanks fans, and like those guys, like Lewis would never tell his fans to go do something crazy, but yeah, he could. He could be like, right, let's go burn down all the
It did feel like that, because like, when we were downstairs performing, you'd hear them, yeah, and they would be chanting, duh, 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 or something. I don't know even what they were saying, but I was like, what is going on up there? And it was a podcast recording.
But the same with Hannah. Hannah could be like, Hannah could get up and be like, you know what, you guys should boycott Bare Minerals makeup. That I just don't wear makeup, so that's the only one I know. But Bare,
and they would do it.
And they would do it. Like, you, they have so much power, like, on two extremes. Like, they could have been like, go down and fight the girls, and Hannah could have been like, go and fight them, and people, it would have been like an episode of South Park or something crazy.
That's crazy.
They are like, it's like cults. Comedy like has become a bit culty, I'm telling you.
That's here, obviously.
I mean, no, look at Joanne McNally, and she's amazing, and that's she's true, great, but she's I heard from...
Well, yeah, she's getting to drink Prosecco.
Yeah, I feel like, I'm sure if she was like, boycott milk in Ireland, I'm sure all her fans would be like, oat milk babies.
To be fair, how is she not being sponsored by some Prosecco brand? That's true, like, she has made Prosecco a lot of money. That's true, yeah, but that's like one. It's kind of like, yeah, because here you've got teams. You've got like different teams of leagues of kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, that's
But even someone was saying that, was it you or maybe it was someone else who opened for her, were saying that people will go on repeat to her same hour, which I don't think that's like a, that's a fan following, that's like you wouldn't mind even get here.
Oh, so to Joanne shows, there's
that's like die hard fans.
But it's also kind of a little bit what she's selling as well, which is great. You can, because if it's happening, there's obviously a huge hunger for it.
Yeah.
And it's very much girls' night out vibe. Like I've met people who've been like four or five times to it, and it's like it's not necessarily about the show. It's like girls' night out kind of vibe, which is. It's great, and it feels like for the great thing about Joanne's success in Ireland is like she rises everyone up with it, because she's getting so many people to come and watch comedy, and then that, you know, the offshoots of that does feed into other people, so she's getting so many people to watch. It's great for comedy.
She sounds amazing, because literally every comedian I know back home is like, yeah, it was so great, I got to open for Joanne, which is amazing. Not a lot of comics do that, like show the support like that, so she's not telling them all to go.
Oh. The cat fell off the bag there or something.
to go boycott something. But yeah, no, just, I guess, yeah, I don't know how I got onto that whole string of thing, but yeah, I guess I'm just starting to realize that really famous comedians could tell you to go do some stuff and you would.
Oh, yeah, I get you. Yeah, yeah. That's it is crazy.
But it is wild that there was those two different.
Yeah, but you were asking of which of them I preferred. That, but that's the thing. It was like, I don't think somebody said to me, like, that I didn't really get a real experience of the stand because I was like, because that was Hannah's crowd that night or whatever. So like the room was lovely. The venue, very swanky. Like when I walked in, I was like, is this a private members club? Like huge pizza wood oven. Yeah. The bar was so swanky with all the bottles of fancy
like
stuff behind
there,
it. It really is. Yeah. It really is. And then you go down and look, the room was absolutely lovely to play. But that was a bit, it's probably the nicest comedy venue I've ever played.
Okay,
by a mile, really. Because comedy venues aren't like that. Then New York Comedy Club, brilliant, like a lovely, gorgeous room.
Right.
The staff were lovely. Not saying that anywhere there weren't.
No, the staff is like insane at New York Comedy Club. They're the best staff in the whole world. They treat you like you're like one of the family.
It feels like you're welcomed.
Yeah.
They welcome people coming in, the punters, everything, all the audience and all that kind of stuff. And there's just a general good vibe around it. And obviously you're part of it as well, like a huge part of that as well. So there's just a general good vibe about it, and the room was lovely, the audience were lovely that night that we played, and it was great. That was just great fun. It was a great night. And then the Cellar was just a different thing again, because they have four venues all around the corner from it. There's the history of it,
and there's famous people like legit.
Dave Chappelle dropped in the night I was there. And I was like, I don't know, because we were up in the restaurant upstairs in the Olive Tree. Des had just finished his set, so we were kind of just hanging out and eating. He went to use the loo, which you have to use the loo going through that room.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, I know.
And
I've never got a loo
he'd
there.
Like text me from downstairs, Chappelle just dropped in. And then you see on the screen downstairs, Dave Chappelle is down.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Downstairs, and the restaurant upstairs is still empty, but you can't get down the stairs because it's packed. It's so small, that room. Yeah. It's packed full of comics.
Oh yeah, all the comedians on the stairs.
All the comedians on the stairs. So I didn't even bother trying. But that was a love, because then we the underground, which is like, it feels like it's about 200 people. The staff there were lovely, and they have a live band and all that, so it created this cool kind of energy, and it was wonderful to watch all the other comics, that the other New York comics from here. Because I suppose in one sense, when we did the Irish night, it's kind of, you know, it's obviously Irish specific. So, but you see the Irish comedians that are working here as well, which is cool. But then the Cellar was cool to see the different comedians that are, you know, they work the Cellar and they're kind of like New York. Like, you can see the New York comedian is a thing, you know, kind of thing.
Do you know what too as well? Like, what I noticed. So obviously, on our lineup, me, Mick, and Sean all started in New York, okay? Or
so
all started in America.
Started in America, wow. Yeah. That's fascinating.
We have you and Julie who started in Ireland, and then
I started in London.
Oh, you told me this, you started in London. Yeah, so that's even. But then I had Aaron on, and what I had just opened for Shane Todd, and I was blown away by Shane Todd, and then I was blown away by Aaron as well. And I think it's interesting to see Northern Irish comedy as well, because that's even different.
That's different too. That is like, and there's also, it feels, there's not a lot of crossover there. I could be, I don't know Shane Todd, for example. We're not doing the same circus. Yeah. There's a very specific circuit up in Northern Ireland.
I didn't know Aaron either.
I didn't know Aaron. Never heard of Aaron. Never knew. I think there's a few comics that do. Like, I would do The Empire, for example, in Belfast from time to time. Lavery seems to be quite big up there at the moment and doing really, really well. Northern Ireland is great with, like, I've worked with a couple of production companies up there, and when they do something sometimes, they really, they do it right. They do a great job and they go for it, you know?
Yeah.
And they kind of just get it done. I don't know, in the South, as they would say, is a bit more lax or whatever. But Shane Todd is like killing it.
I was like, I found it inspirational watching him. It was so much fun because he was so sweet, and he was like, oh, do you think you could open for me? And I was like, absolutely.
That was it here in New
York? Yeah. And even he was like, how much would you want? And I was like, honestly, I've been offered such extremes, just like whatever your budget is. And he was like, okay, great. So then we go up and we did it here, and then we did it in Woodlawn, and I'm on stage, the host, when the host was on stage, because there was like a, it was all booked through the Stand, and so they brought their own host.
Okay.
And when he was on stage, he was American, and his mic kept just going, so he would say a punchline, you couldn't hear it.
Right.
So then I went on stage and it started doing that for me, and then I just, and it was all Irish people, and I just like kind of put the mic to the side, and I was like, do you guys mind if I just shout at you? And they were like, and they were so supportive.
Yeah.
And then it gave Shane time to like fix the mic and stuff. He said that they were like running around fixing whatever.
Right.
But it was so nice to have it all. I hadn't had a whole Irish room in so long.
Right.
And then they were just so supportive. They were like, yes, girl, go on, girl, you're grand. And so they'd be real quiet so I could say it. But then they would laugh. Like, I felt like they were giving me more than the hosts, supporting their own.
Yeah. Especially in such a situation like that, when they're like, the mic isn't working and all that.
They're really supportive of them. Yeah. And then watching Shane, I was blown away. I was like, this is like inspirational, because it was just so well written, so well paced,
yeah,
and so different to what I see over here. That's why I love watching.
I've not seen his
stand-up at all. Oh my God, he's so great. And that's why I love watching, because even to me, I was like, do you know, it's great to see people from home. But now seeing him and Shane and hearing that you guys, or not him and Aaron, you guys don't have a lot of a crossover either.
No. And I don't know that, I could be completely wrong on this, but I don't know that they do the like England much. I could be completely wrong.
I think
but
Shane does, because he's right. Touring there now, I think.
Is he? Okay, well, there you go, yeah. But yeah, there'd be a decent enough crossover between Dublin and London for sure. But it's gas. But I was saying to you earlier on, that's we don't realise, well, I'm appreciating how lucky we are to do something like the Edinburgh Fringe. I know it's a pain in the ass, and I know loads of people, there's loads of difficult things about it, the monetization, etc. I get all that. But the wonderful thing about a Fringe Festival, I was talking to a mate of mine who works Adelaide and Melbourne quite a lot as well, is people from completely different comedic backgrounds all the time, and you get to see completely different styles. Like, I was blown away by Australian comedians in Edinburgh this year, like Randy Feldflace and Nikki Britton and people like that, and they were amazing. But then you got to see a great New York comic like Catherine Cohen and stuff like that as well. So it's it is lucky, it is cool to have that. But it's New York is very interesting. You see all the different scenes going on and all the different things going on. We got to see Tori Piskin's special, for example, the other day.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
I'm delighted you enjoyed
fantastic.
It.
Yeah.
She's very unique in her own way. I think she's I think she's different to the...
I would have thought so. Would have thought so.
Because like from... She is a New York comic, but I still think she's very unique. I think she does a lot more... like storytelling, performance.
Great performance.
Oh, her performance is fantastic. So good,
the
right?
characters, the performances.
The Irish story was so much Irish, fun.
Very funny. Yeah, very good stuff. I think she's, brilliant. And you're right. But I would see Catherine Conan a little bit in the same like that as well. Like, she's a New York comic, but she's come from her own kind of a thing. Because, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of like, this is how it is and this is how it's supposed to be and blah, blah, blah. But those are the voices that I'm very much interested in watching. So, Tori was brilliant. Her mother's impersonations.
Hilarious. And that's exactly like her mother.
Don't trust him. He doesn't tailor his pants.
Yeah,
not the line.
That was so funny. Her mother, when Tori's boyfriend broke up with her, this is ages ago, an old boyfriend, but her mother came into my job to drop off something for Tori. And like, I was working a really busy bar at the time. And so she opens the door, the bar is packed, and she goes, "Katie, he's a bastard." And the whole bar is like, "What?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh," but she's amazing. I do think with the New York style, it's joke. And then you look at the Irish style and it's more stories and silly sometimes too.
Yeah, there's not a huge amount of silly here.
There's not. Even when I was watching Shane Todd, what I did like about it is that it's so unbelievable. It's silly. And sometimes people here like to stick more to maybe...
Yeah.
They don't go that silly.
Yeah, it can be a bit like that sometimes in stuff. But maybe that's just the culture of the people as well. So it's not necessarily criticism, but like, you know, I, for example, when I was in London and starting out, I see old clips and I'm like, why don't I still do that? I was extremely physical and silly.
Yeah.
And like goofing around and kind of like doing stupid shit and physical. Whereas here, you like, of everybody that I've seen so far is like, I don't think anyone did. You know,
that's one thing I love about Tori is I feel like she does get in. She has no, she doesn't get in her head about getting into a character and bouncing around.
No.
And that was something when we started gigging together.
Right.
So we were like...
So how long ago was that, Katie? Sorry.
Oh, God. Maybe 7.5 years ago.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, she was my first friend.
2020 does that.
Because I'm here 8 years. Right. I started comedy 6 months into moving here and I'm here 8 years like next week.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
Do you feel like... you obviously feel like you're a New Yorker.
No.
Really?
I don't know. Like, people go... When they introduce me, they go, "Katie's from Ireland originally." And I'm always like, not originally. I'm just from Ireland. What the hell is this? Originally?
But why did they do that? Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, right. I'm just like, you can just stay from Ireland, full
stop.
That's
interesting, because that got to be a thing in London where... It was kind of, it was nearly rude to ask where you're from.
Oh, yeah.
You were just a Londoner. Do you know what I mean? People wouldn't get into that.
But that's probably because people had moved over as a child and that's more, you don't want to make people feel like minorities feel like they're not part of the country. Is that kind of where that comes from?
It just became a bit like, that's what I loved about living in London. No one cared where you're from.
Yeah.
The only people who asked me where I'm from were Irish people. Oh, where are you from? Do you know what kind of thing?
Yeah.
But the freedom of London was like, you didn't have to change up your accent or anything like that, or was it really like where you're from was a little bit like nobody really cared.
I think
unless it came up in conversation about something or whatever, that, you know what I mean?
I think it's good being from Ireland and New York because
so they say
there's A, they love the Irish accent. B, it kind of appeases everybody because the, you know, the Americans can slag you and they have that freedom to do that accent and stuff where they can't do that with other people. So you're a real mimic for them, but we don't mind.
Right.
We kind of just go, whatever, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because if you did it to someone else, it's awful. You can't do that to someone else because that's making them feel different and separate. Where ours is kind of musical and silly and we... You know what I mean? Like we haven't been, we're not oppressed here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so like same way.
Well, so like so much of New York is Irish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we're not oppressed anymore. And you know, do you know what I mean? Walked in this, like there's, it's not the same if you did an Indian accent to someone who's Indian, like that's awful. You can't be doing that. Do you know? Like you can't, you just can't.
But you did when you had a few drinks last night, Katie.
I didn't even have drinks last night. I didn't even see him last night. I know. Imagine as well that you trying to do like a, did you ever try to do a different accent, like a Northern Irish or something? I can't do accents because you're like, that's going to sound like I'm French or something. But like...
Northern Irish would be French.
No, but I'm trying to say like sometimes I think people do... Because sometimes people do my accent, Americans will do Irish and it sounds Indian. And I'm like... But then I'm like, oh, they're doing my... like.
So I still haven't heard an American that can do an Irish accent.
No, because they just go... But what I mean is, so in that regard, and then with minorities, they're like, oh, you're from Ireland, you're not that bad. Do you know? Like they kind of accept you in a bit more. Yeah, because there is a bit of like a bit of tense here between different groups and stuff like
really?
That.
Really? I haven't noticed. I'm joking.
Well, you're also half Latin, so you should be saying that should be stamped across your head when you're
well,
here.
Well, so that's the kind of, that's the kind of, do we have to pause? We're getting text messages in.
I'm going to buzz them up.
Buzz them up.
But what you say, that's the what?
We can pause it if you want to bring them up, will we?
Yeah.
Let's take a commercial break, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, yeah, we were talking about you being... half Latino.
Yes. Which is, so you were saying that's a thing here. Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, people, the race thing is very different over here because people definitely, because you said, I was totally joking, there's lots of tension, so people talk about it a lot on stage. It's not that it's not going on in Ireland kind of thing, but I don't know. It's, people, for example, I know what it is. People in Ireland don't see that as diversity in Ireland. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, here it totally is.
Oh, being
half from Argentina, for example, like white, whatever. People don't care.
Sure,
I mean?
I mean, I felt very ignorant until I moved over here because when I moved over here, I always thought, I didn't think that there was a difference. I didn't think that. I just never thought about it. I thought loads of people. I thought we were all white to a certain extent. Black,
yeah.
So I had no idea. I never thought. I thought Middle Eastern people were white as well. And then you come over here, and it's like, well, no, we're part of the. Like they would all call themselves brown people, so that would be Middle Eastern and South Asian,
right?
And then you have East Asian, and then you have Latin, and but like my Latin friends from here, or from Latin America, some of them would say that they're brown, but some of them would say that they're white, and then they come here and they're told they're not white. So two of my friends are like, well, I was white, one in Uruguay and the other in Argentina was like, I am white. I was white in Argentina. But then I come here and I'm told, and it's like, yeah, I am Latin, but I'm told I'm not white. But he's like, I'm a white Latino. And they're like, no, you're just Latino. And he was like, I'm confused.
We were chatting about the other day. Like, that's the US. The US loves to put the labels on all that.
Separate people,
like,
put them in boxes.
The actual original Latin countries that, you know, where the Latinos came from Europe, like Italy, Spain, Portugal, and all that kind of stuff. None of that conversation is going on.
Yeah.
And there's people of lots of different colours in Portugal, for example. That's not part of the conversation. People don't label themselves like that a little bit. But it was interesting. I remember having this conversation with Des before. It was just like, in the US, I would be considered... In the US, they would describe me as Latino or brown or whatever like that. Yeah. But in Ireland, nobody really thinks about that. Really.
No, and even like when I first met you, I never thought... I never like, yeah, I was just like, hey, you have a...
Apart from the nicknames you used to get called as a kid, but we won't get into that.
I know I had an ex-boyfriend who was biracial and he told me some of the stuff and I was like, because he grew up in Fermanagh and he told me some of the stuff and I was like, Jesus, that's fucking awful.
Yeah.
And it's like Irish people thinking they're being funny, but you're like, it does make... Imagine you are that, you know this.
Yeah.
But like as a white person, I'm going, imagine you would feel separate.
Yeah, and it's very different here because... And you get put into these boxes here because it does affect like where you live. And your skin color, it is affected by voting and the way you're treated in this country and all that. So that's why it's so...
And they have to stick together as well. Yeah. And like the Irish did that for a long time. I'm sure, fuck's sake, the Irish got where they were because they stuck together and made a mafia.
Yeah.
And they fucking got into voting and they were like...
And now Joe Biden's president. He's from Mayo.
Catholic Joe Biden. About to meet his maker in a hot second.
Yeah, so all that, you definitely feel all, I was totally joking, you feel all that definite tensions here, but yeah. We don't really live in that. I don't want to speak for all people of colour in Ireland, for example, who I'm sure have lots of different things going on. It's a bit different for sure, yeah.
I also think Americans will always think, and I have a whole bit about it, but I'm not going to do the bit now, but my point is that they think Ireland is all white and it's not. It's like, especially Dublin's gotten very multicultural.
Yes, not anymore.
And even when I was growing up, I grew up outside Dublin, but when I was born, a lot of people had started to immigrate into Ireland. Is that a word? Emigrate from different countries because of different, either
sure
the college
right,
or...
So,
maybe if you're in the countryside, but even then, like my dad lives in Longford now and I go down and it is all different ethnicities.
I can't remember the name. There's a town in County Galway that is literally the population of Brazilian. Like, it's very fun. There's like more Brazilians than anything
there's
else.
There's so many Brazilians because there's a Brazilian night, I remember, because I used to work weekends, so we would go to Brazilian night on Monday and Dicey's, and it was all Brazilian.
Oh, in Dublin, yeah.
It was
great. That's still going,
yeah,
and it's
good.
So popular.
I love that.
Oh, it's great crack.
But yeah, so I do, and I think it's different in Ireland, obviously, because people chose to go there. They chose, you know what I mean? It's a different situation where people were forced to come here or they didn't have any other option.
And
came for a better life, but then were abused and lots of stuff. But, you know, we were talking about being on the subway, and I don't know if I've ever said this on my podcast, but definitely for yours. I got on the subway, and there is tensions, okay?
Yeah.
Ever since the pandemic, there's been a lot of tensions and a lot more mentally unwell people probably on the subway.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And God help them. But there was this guy who came up to me and he was dressed like as if Bushwick became a person. I said this, now Aaron's in there because I said this on his podcast already, but then he laughed at it, so I thought it was funny, so I'm going to repeat it again.
Now, what does Bushwick become a person mean? Sorry. Bushwick is a cool area, is it?
No. It's a fucking cool guy area.
Okay,
right,
yeah.
Jeans rolled up,
okay,
pink
yeah.
socks,
yeah.
Graphic tee, the
right.
little hat on the top of his head
that doesn't
fit his whole head.
Yeah.
Carrying a pink balloon.
Is that part of Brooklyn now?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But
yeah.
it's like a kind of gentrified, it's starting
right.
to get gentrified
okay,
type
okay,
area.
Yeah.
So all the artists live there. It will eventually because all the artists move in there because it's cheap and then you know yourself. But he looked like an artist. And then he had carrying a pink balloon, which is just a really weird thing, okay? But he goes, is this train going to Brooklyn? And I said, yes. And he goes, can I have a dollar? And then I go, sorry, I don't have a change. He goes, give me 20. And then I thought he was maybe trying to flirt or something, like an intense flirting. And I go, oh, that's not how that works. If I didn't have a dollar, I hardly have 20.
Mm.
He goes, where are you going? And I go, I'm going to work. Now, I was only going two stops. I wasn't even going into Brooklyn. It was just on the L train. And he goes, where do you work? And I was like, I don't have to give you this information.
Yeah.
And then he just turned. So, like, we get on the train. He's sitting down. He has his pink balloon. He's singing, Don't Worry, Be Happy, but staring at me with a smile. Like, it was really fucking creepy. And I'm just, like, looking down. And I look up at him. And he's staring directly at me. And I could feel him looking at me before.
Are you on your own in the carriage?
I'm not on my own. There's like there was an older lady beside me on the left. And then there was like a couple of people. I just also happened to be probably the only white woman. So, and they just hate white women right now. People do in America.
Right.
You know, they really do. And so, and like for, you know, yeah, a lot of them voted for Trump. And a lot of them are fucking pains in the holes. And a few of them did some Karen shit. And I get all that.
Mm.
But anyway, I just happened to be the only white woman who was on that train. And so he's glaring at me. And when I looked up, he threw his bottle at me and it was a glass bottle.
Jesus.
And it nearly hit the older black lady beside me. So she's looking at me and she puts her mask like, are you okay? And I'm like, And then I go, can you stop? You're scaring me now. And then he just snapped and he goes, fucking white bitch, fucking Karen, bet you fucking voted for, he goes, I bet you fucking hate me because I'm black, I bet you fucking voted for for Trump.
Jesus.
And then I just go, I'm an immigrant, I can't vote. And then he goes, you Lithuanian? And it was just like a whirlwind of emotions.
Changed.
And then he started like just naming out countries, never even got to Ireland. He was like, Lithuanian, Canadian, blah. And I was like, he's just gonna find something wrong with all of these countries.
Yeah.
And it could have been anybody. I could have been.
Fuck me.
I mean, if he had heard my accent, I'm sure he would have been like, if he knew something about what he hated about Irish people, he would have been like, you Irish, whatever.
Yeah.
Because he was just looking for a fight with someone and was obviously very mentally unwell. But it was, but of course, I don't know. I just feel like, there's a bit of tensions and he had an excuse maybe to like, I don't know. It was fucking. And then I got off the train and I was like,
I can't imagine.
I can't believe this.
Yeah, I can't imagine what you're feeling that moment. Fucking hell.
I know. And my first thing was like, I'm an immigrant. I can't vote. Don't
what
come
kind
for
of,
me.
Sorry, what kind of a time of day was that?
Like I was hosting at the comedy club at 9, so this would have been like 8:45.
Right, yeah. Because I am hearing, like, and I've definitely seen, like, situations of people, like, on the subway platforms and stuff like that, and they're sleeping out and all that, and it's like, it looks, like, you definitely would have, for example, stuff like that in Dublin, where people are sleeping in certain areas, but there's something extra,
yeah,
like, stressy about it, or they're kind of, I don't know if they're doing drugs or what, yeah, but there's, like, it's a different energy
and
on
I'm
the
sure,
platform at night time.
I'm sure if that was a Latin woman, he would have just said, fucking Latin girl, you know, yeah, what I mean, like, yeah, he would have picked on anybody, yeah. I just think it
should
would have
said Selbridge,
yeah.
Like, fuck Selbridge, yeah, Dublin suburb.
I think it just would have been whoever wasn't the majority,
yeah,
on the,
okay,
subway, does,
okay,
that make sense,
yeah,
I think,
yeah,
because,
yeah,
I was the only young white woman,
yeah,
that's,
yeah,
why,
yeah.
And he probably thought as well, this is a great thing because everybody hates Karens right now, so,
right,
he probably thought,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
then,
yeah,
when I go, oh, I can't vote, he was like kind of like, okay, well, let's find something else wrong,
yeah,
Lithuania,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I'm,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
what,
yeah.
Mental.
Hell.
But that's,
Jesus,
just, it's a little, like, when we're talking about subways now, it is a little scary for everybody, you,
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
As my friend is married to an Asian woman, and he said she's fucking terrified going on the subway now because a few Asian women were pushed in front of the train because of COVID.
Oh my God.
Like, fucking crazy. Like, it is.
You're literally seeing, I'm learning about a complete other side of what's going on here in everyday life now on this podcast.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to, I'm going to get the subway home from here, Casey.
Well, you're fine. You're a man. I think you'll be okay. Just keep your
mouth
shut.
I'll be on a fucking jog. I'll be gone. I have to get the L home. This is bullshit.
Do you know what? I was telling that story. I thought that was really kind of like going to be funny. And then you looked really concerned. And I was like, God, why did I tell the story now? This is actually,
there's a guy throwing a glass bottle at your hand, Katie. I was like, where's the punchline?
And I'm like, this is going to be hilarious.
There's only going to be a punch. That's a fucking, like, that's all that was going to happen here.
Aaron's laughing.
The poor
in
listeners
the
of Aaron's in the background going, oh my fucking,
well,
God.
You tell your subway story that's way funnier than mine.
I don't have one. I don't, like, there was just a guy that was talking loudly to himself on the way over here today, and he was just like, it's interesting though, he was ranting to himself about, like, I'm in the wrong fucking tax bracket, I'm fucking, and you know, the way that this country is run is literally, yeah, breaking people's heads.
It's breaking their heads.
And anyway, we got to the stop and the door took an extra second to open the normal. So people were waiting for a second. He said, open the door, I'm VIP! He, yeah, screams out. I loved it. But yeah, you get lots of those moments, like people rapping out loud to themselves. And they're on edge. You can feel people are on edge.
They are,
sure,
on edge. Because I spoke to my therapist about it as well, feeling like I felt quite nervous on the subway for the first time, like, after the pandemic, and she was like, wear your mask always on that. I know I don't anymore, but she was like, it's a great way to stay incognito because people are looking to fight with people, they're,
right,
gonna look for reasons.
Okay, yeah, yeah, Jesus.
yeah you have to just
well, there you go, my week in New York has been good, ladies and gentlemen. I'm happy to be leaving.
Okay, well, yeah, so we can wrap up now because that
we
was
can wrap up, but also
minutes.
Katie, thank you so much for putting on the Irish night, and thank you for having us over.
Of
it was
course.
Fantastic. It was great crack, and it was lovely to be over here. And did you enjoy it? Did you have a good time with us?
I had a great time. Yeah, I really did enjoy it. It was so much fun. I thought that audience was really fun.
They were lovely.
Yeah, they were, weren't they?
Yeah, they were lovely.
And there were a few people that had come out for my gigs before, so it was really nice. Because
I was kind of like,
oh, do I really want to MC it? Like, it'd be great just to do a set. But then I was like, do you know what? I have to MC it because,
yeah,
I'll be able to introduce you guys,
yeah,
in a fun way, and like, it's like presenting these.
You were great. You were
but
great.
Then it was fun. I MC'd it because there was a few people who'd already seen me at gigs, so I was like, okay, I can't. Like, it's better to do as much crowd work, you know,
yeah,
and
yeah,
just chat to them.
You were great.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. I really, and it was great to see you and hang out with you, and great to meet Aaron McCann is sitting on my bed now because we have to go talk to him. But me and my boyfriend were talking about his joke because Leland was like, I'm still thinking about Aaron's they stole the kisses joke.
It was great.
Just, and yourself too, he was talking about Biff from you as well. So Leland was super impressed.
Do you know what's ridiculous is that, like, Aaron and I have been living on the same island for so long, and it takes us to go to New York to meet each other. Isn't it, like, it's fucking ridiculous?
But
there you go. No, it's been great, and thank you so much. And shout out to all Katie's listeners as well. Yeah, keep supporting her. She's doing great work.
Thanks, I keep supporting you. You're doing great work.
Yeah, let's. Yeah.
And love yous all. Bye.
Peace and love.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.